This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. As always, we appreciate you being here for Inside Douglas County. Much of, almost all of what we're focused on these days is different aspects of the COVID-19 situation. And one subject that we've been wanting to keep at the table is just how people are coping, the mental health issues, the stress-related topics in that framework. We're going to do another one of those programs today. Tom Sorrells is a licensed clinical social worker and the ADAPT clinical director. His first time on the radio with me. Tom, good afternoon.
Thanks for having me, Kyle.
So first of all, tell folks a little bit about your background, how long you've been at ADAPT, what led you to getting in this field.
Sure. Well, I've been with ADAPT about 6 years now. I've been director of our corrections treatment program. I've been a counselor with our opioid treatment program, a mental health provider at our Compass Behavioral Health division as a therapist there. And I began life at ADAPT as a drug court counselor in the corrections program. Prior to that, I was in Washington, D.C., working for the Veterans Affairs Central Office after I won a scholarship to attend my last year of graduate school there. So I have a master's in social work from the University of Alabama. And before that, kind of had some varied interests. I was a professional musician for a long while, and I began my life in school in physics, and then eventually got a degree in philosophy. So I've popped around a bit. And just towards the end of my school career, I just really began to turn to wanting to help people, and had a chance encounter with a friend who was also in the master's program of social work. He recommended it, and it really just took off from there. It was a great fit for me.
So I've got to ask, without getting off track, you said professional musician. What instrument did you play?
Yeah, so I was a guitarist for a long time and taught guitar and music. And I was in a college town, you know, for most of my life in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And that was just a real hot spot for music. And it's always been a love of mine. So I just really dove into that when I got to college, and it just became a career.
Interesting. Well, you oversee all of the ADAPT substance use and treatment and recovery services for youth and adults. And with the stress of the pandemic, alcohol sales way up. What issues are you already seeing?
Yeah, that's certainly true. You know, we have seen alcohol sales go up since the start of the pandemic, for sure. Especially since the beginning of the, you know, the social isolation measures to contain the virus and so on. I think we're also seeing an increase of other substance use as well. For instance, I know our opioid treatment program has seen an increase of heroin and even more dangerous substances like fentanyl use. And we've seen increased referrals for medication-assisted treatment because of that. And, you know, I think all of that is sort of to be expected given the circumstances. The challenge is really to provide access to effective treatment to all those folks while still observing, you know, all the public health protocols to keep clients safe and protected from infection. I'm really proud that we've been able to meet that challenge, I think, and continue to provide treatment to all those who so desperately need it right now.
And for some people, if they live alone and they're working from home, et cetera, you don't have maybe the natural situation that you might have otherwise if you're working in an office or if you have someone living with you, family, et cetera. So these things can kind of escalate, and you can keep them quiet, and it can get pretty bad before anybody realizes you have a problem because you're not peeking your head out much.
Well, that's exactly right. And you know, isolation itself can be stressful and a trigger to increased substance use, especially someone, you know, who may have had problems in the past and thought they were firmly established in recovery. And, you know, events like this that can be traumatic and unexpected and unpredictable can really cause that stress to trigger someone to relapse to an earlier stage of their addiction. So it's just got a lot of dangerous and risky facets to it. A situation like this is certainly going to increase stress across the board, and it's going to make it tougher for people to actually respond to that stress because of the measures we have to take to keep people safe.
For people that have been in recovery for a long term, they're in the same boat as all of us. This is maybe one of the most stressful time periods in modern history, and people are impacted by job loss or hours cut or health issues if they know somebody who's gotten the virus, et cetera. There's so many aspects of this. Looking at investment portfolios, things like that as well, that can cause a whole bunch of stress. And talk about the potential for relapsing and what people can do to make sure they don't relapse if they've got a prior history with at-risk behavior.
Yeah, it's such an important topic, and people at any stage of recovery are, you know, always at some risk for relapse. Treatment itself is a path to recovery, but then the hard work really begins. You have to learn how to maintain that for the rest of your life. It's extraordinarily difficult. It gets easier with time, but you're right, in stressful situations, like this one, like you mentioned, just completely overwhelming, it's even more difficult. But the right kinds of skills and support go a long way. Professional treatment programs do offer that. But we know from the research that certain things really correlate with successful recovery, no matter what the circumstances. So, for instance, good support systems, being able to identify the supportive elements in your life, whether it be family, friends, supportive organizations like 12-step organizations or churches or clubs. A lot of those things are hard to access right now, but looking for ways to access them online or through some other method. A willingness to reenter treatment when it becomes necessary is also very important and correlated with continued recovery. So when someone recognizes that they are being triggered to lapse back into an earlier stage of addiction or to begin down the road of an addiction for the first time, just that willingness to reach out to treatment is extremely important. And then just to be proactive in your recovery, to really monitor and engage with people that can help you and to be wary of things in your environment that can trigger you. It is just a really serious time we're going through, but it's important to remember and recognize that those support systems are still out there and functioning, and I think ADAPT plays a really big role with that in the counties in which we operate.
Now, we're just a few days into the phase reopening. A lot of things are opening slowly, structurally. I would imagine, though, at some point, if some of it's not already happening, for various levels of things like AA, NA, Celebrate Recovery, things like that, there's a potential now in small groups with social distancing, et cetera, to begin to have some of those group meetings again.
Yeah, I think things are slowly opening up. We obviously are following a plan that we have in place very carefully to keep staff and patients as safe as we can. We've been awfully lucky, I think, in Douglas County to have a relatively low number of reported cases, and the outbreak is not really touched us as much as it has in other parts of Oregon and, of course, other parts of the nation. But it's still quite serious, and we need to find ways to keep people safe and to prevent anything like a future outbreak from happening as things do open up a little bit more. But I think you're right. As we go along with that plan and as we see others in the community implement their own plans, there will be greater opportunity to engage in recovery services, support services, 12-step, and so on. And if anyone is looking for those resources, we can certainly help them here at ADAPT connect with those in a safe way.
I would imagine, too, and I don't know if this is being used, but everybody else is doing it for lots of other things, Zoom meetings or other platforms where you can get groups together virtually.
Well, certainly. We early on, as this became, quite risky to engage in face-to-face services with patients, we did basically transition the entire agency away from that kind of engagement to telehealth platforms, and we are still operating most of our services in that way. We still do engagement with people in person initially to conduct assessments and other things while observing all the social distancing and other protocols we need to keep them and us safe. But yes, most of the treatment ongoing right now is in the telehealth sphere. But again, I think you're right. I think over time we'll see a return to more business as usual. But I certainly hope that we hold on to this option for those who need it in the future, even after our COVID experience is over, because it's been invaluable and has connected a lot more people with services who may not have had an opportunity otherwise.
I've heard that from other medical providers from other spheres of medicine altogether, including some doctors who felt like they got dragged into telehealth because they didn't really have an option, who now realize that they're going to be using it more in the long term, at least for some situations. There's some advantages there as well. Of course, you can't do everything via a Zoom meeting, et cetera, but telehealth, certainly a lot of folks have been calling for it. And it appears that just given the necessity of using it, a lot of people have really seen the impact of being able to do meetings with folks that way.
Well, that's correct. I mean, one of the first things that we do with a patient in treatment is to identify barriers that they have from engaging in that treatment. And very often, those barriers can be solved with telehealth. There are things like transportation, which is a big one in a community like ours that's rural and doesn't have a robust public transportation system. A lot of folks live miles away from our facilities, and this is a way that we can connect those folks to our services. And in the past, it's been very difficult to do that.
Going to take a break at Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. Tom Sorrells, licensed clinical social worker, the ADAPT clinical director. The interview will be a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. Inside Douglas County, back in 2 minutes on News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249, Lars Larson Show coming up at 1 o'clock later today. KQEN Local Talk at 4. David Littlejohn and Katie Shook will have True Wealth Radio. And tomorrow's Inside Douglas County will be speaking with State Representative Gary Leaf. We're talking to Tom Sorrells, licensed clinical social worker and the clinical director for ADAPT, as we try to keep the aspect of mental health, coping, substance use, etc., on the table during this time of COVID-19, when a lot of the focus is on the political and economic aspects of what's going on as well. Tom, what about kids being at home right now, whether it's younger kids or, I guess I'm especially thinking of older kids? They're getting educated from home. Their parents may be working at home. Obviously, especially if you have a smaller house, that can create a lot of stressful issues on its own.
Yeah, you're so right. Most of my work in my career has been with adults, but we've had a robust and longstanding treatment programs for youth at ADAPT, both inpatient and outpatient. And it's true, the increase in substance use during this moment isn't limited to just adult users. Children are always more vulnerable for all kinds of reasons. I'd say the biggest problem we see with substance abuse with kids is the high level of early marijuana use that we see. In some ways, marijuana use isn't quite as impactful or as harmful on the average adult, but it has profound impacts on the developing young brain. That can really lead to some significant problems with cognition and emotional regulation and so on as they grow older. And there's good evidence that using at an early age leads to a greater risk of more dangerous addictions as an adult. So I'd say, that's probably the greatest problem generally for youth. And of course, in an environment like we have right now, where there are unpredictable family schedules, lots of people sort of thrust together in the day that maybe otherwise wouldn't be, and all kinds of other unforeseen stressors, that risk and others can really be increased. So Again, it's important for kids and for parents to try to reach out for help when they see the beginnings of a substance use problem or a recurrence of one as well.
I would imagine, too, that, and this would be especially true perhaps for teenagers, but that there's a time where all this togetherness needs to have a little bit of a break, and people need to, somebody needs to go outside and sit on the deck and work or just have, their own personal space.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot going on right now with increases in just domestic difficulties, whether they be violent or abusive or just, overly stressful in other ways that can lead to other forms of risk. And, yeah, again, kids are just right at the heart of those dangers. I should say that our residential program is just incredibly good at dealing with kids who come from these dangerous homes or dangerous and stressful situations. And that's always been one of the highlights of all of our services at ADAPT. They do such great work with children. And, when adults have problems in their life, of course, whether it be unemployment during this time or a recurrence of their addiction or problems with the corrections, the criminal justice interaction or others, that can get passed on in risky and dangerous ways to children as well. So they're quite at risk, and we need to do everything we can to try and protect them.
It seems from my observation and talking to folks like you and people from other arenas, including education, that so many things in the substance use area are oftentimes generational. Kids see their parents cope via alcohol or via opioids or whatever, and they learn that behavior sometimes as well.
Oh, very much so. In my career, I don't want to say often, but more often than I would like, have encountered a granddad, a mom, and a son, let's say, all through my treatment history with the same family. And it's surprising in one way, and I guess in another, it's not. People do learn. They do have behaviors modeled for them, and it's something that does have a tremendous impact on their growth and development. So, yeah, generational substance use is it's more prevalent than I would have imagined before starting this work.
At the front end of our conversation, you mentioned corrections treatment. Can you tell folks more about what that means?
Yeah, that's something, near and dear to me. I was the director of our corrections program here for about 3 years. The treatment is very, very similar to other approaches to substance abuse treatment, of course, but it's in these cases, the clients are more often than not mandated to be there, either by a court or by a parole or probation officer or something of that kind. And we do tailor the treatment to the specific challenges of someone who has a lot of problems with the criminal justice system. And there are things like criminogenic needs, they're called, that we address to try and reduce the recidivism of folks when they leave treatment. But otherwise, a large part of what corrections treatment involves is just simply making sure that clients adhere to requirements put upon them by the court to engage in treatment. And of course, we provide the treatment for our Douglas County drug court and mental health court. And those are programs that we're incredibly proud of. They're very complex, and they're long in their duration, sometimes up to a year and a half of someone in the same program. And we also have another program called RSAT that operates in the jail itself, where we bring substance abuse treatment into the jail and treat inmates for about 180 days, and then they transition into our drug court program from there.
What activities should people consider to mitigate the stress they're feeling right now?
Well, it's a great question. It's really hard to generalize and say that we have a good list for everyone to get through this and with a minimum of stress. But I think some things are intuitive and that we just know from common sense, and some things the research tells us are good. But I think some of the things I mentioned before about maintaining recovery are really the best things that we could advise. Seek out good support systems, rekindle old support systems that you may have thought weren't still available. Make use of the incredible technology that we all have these days to reach out to folks across the internet and reconnect or connect for the first time. Seek out professional services if you need them or if you think they need them. Sometimes that's such a big problem and barrier to people. They feel ashamed or feel like they just something they can't engage in, but we would certainly encourage them to try and do that. Contacting us for other resources would be a great start.
Tom Sorrell is licensed clinical social worker, the ADAPT clinical director. Thanks for being on Inside Douglas County this afternoon.
Thanks so much for having me, Kyle. I appreciate it.
1257 and News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.